Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Miami New Drama presents a new play at the Colony Theater at Miami Beach that reveals the implications of Cuban politics to the art industry. The play Fake takes us to an auction house where art curators have gotten an extremely rare painting from prestigious Cuban artist Amelia Belais. I'm saying that right. But one of them is questioning the authenticity of the painting. During the show, Belais' niece is left fighting with the challenging question of how far will she have to sacrifice to protect the legacy of her family name? And here to tell us more is Carmen Belais. She is the real-life niece of the artist, Amelia, writer of the play, and is starring as the fictional niece in Fake. Carmen, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
You're wearing a lot of hats on this one.
Well, I got a big head, so I got to make sure I'm covered.
Let's start by this. Let's start by, tell us about Amelia. Tell us about who she was and her art.
Sure. Amelia was probably one of the most important artists of the Cuban avant-garde. Definitely the most important woman artist of the Cuban avant-garde. She studied in Paris in the 30s, then she came back to Cuba and, you know, did not care to make herself famous. She just wanted to paint, and she knew that eventually her work was going to walk, and she was right. Her brothers and sisters used to make fun of her when she'd give her work as like wedding gifts or whatever. She'd be like, Amelia, you don't know they like it. She's like, they don't like it today. They'll love it tomorrow. She was completely unconcerned. She lived to paint. The only year of her life that she didn't paint was when a niece of hers, the Yuyu, got sick, and she put down her paintbrush to take care of Yuyu. And when Yuyu got better, back to painting.
Where did the inspiration for the show come from?
I run the Amelia Belais Foundation, and I have to deal with a lot of people trying to sell fake Amelias. It's deceptively simple work, but nobody can grab her line. They don't have her flow. So people think they can copy her, and they never are able to do it well. I've only seen two pretty good copies. Outside of that, everything is just a blatant fake. And, you know, in dealing on eBay and stuff like that, I've had to, when I deal more directly with people, the things that they say and the insults that they lob at you, and you're just like, you are trying to make money off a sacrifice that you did not endure. Sit down. You know, you cannot do this. It's fraud. So one day I came into the office, I was totally upset about it, and a friend of mine said, oh, you should write a play about it. And I was like, all right, I'm going to call it Fake. And I did.
Wow, what a place to find inspiration. I mean, you've probably gotten really good at spotting fakes.
Oh, the only one that I was ever slightly off about, but not, was one painting. But I've never been wrong about an Amelia.
I didn't realize this. They're trying to push these off on eBay?
Oh, yeah, on eBay. And I've seen fakes in major auction houses.
Wow.
Yeah, the only certification that the foundation will accept without question is La Fundación de Arte Cubano. They're in the process of doing her catalogue raisonné, and they will be certifying. And they've already started certifying, but it's watermarked and like the whole nine yards. But I will not accept any other certificate. It's just a given.
All right. So I kind of touched on it, but give us the premise of this play, because this one piece comes in, your character is not convinced it's real.
Right. So this is basically the second in the Camilla trilogies. The first one was Rum and Coke, where I'm inspired to go to Cuba. It was a solo play. I'm inspired to go to Cuba to live a painting after I see Amelia up at MoMA. So now Camilla finds herself working in an auction house. She's kind of like a rising star. She's just been made head of the Latin American department. And she, at the last minute, her boss has a dealer include this painting. And as soon as she sees it, she's like, no. She knows that it's problematic. The more research she does, the more convinced she becomes. And she basically has to decide. She has to deal with elements in Cuba, with this dealer, her high boss and her direct boss. And it's basically a fight of, you know, we cannot sell this. And her bosses are like, we have all the paperwork. What's the problem? And it's instinct versus, you know, versus paper, right? And it has a lot to do also with a lot of the, you know, I'm a hardcore progressive liberal, but a lot of the problems with white liberalism, right? Which is very patronizing to people of color many times. So I think I infuse it with a little bit of that. And it's really based on my experiences in dealing in the art world with all the different auction houses, with all the different dealers and brokers, conversations and stories I've picked up since then.
And what role does the Cuban government play with the, you know, with authenticating the work?
Well, the Cuban government definitely has sections. They have, they know... This is something that's been talked about a lot. I don't have physical proof of it, but they'll have artists that duplicate work just to sell it. I've heard many instances of it. People that have met people that used to do that as their job in Cuba. I've never walked into a studio in Cuba and seen this happen, but it's something that is kind of known. I was at a conference with the FBI the other day, and they said, yeah, when it comes to Cuban art, you just don't even want to like touch it. Because there are so many fakes out there. And fortunately, in Miami, there's a market for fakes. There's a lot of people that will buy a fake knowing it's a fake. And they'll just be like, yeah, but it looks like an Amelia. And I'm like, yeah, but it's not. So it's interesting. You know, if you love the work so much, if it makes you so happy, then get a real one. And if you don't, get a book. If you can't afford it, but don't get a fake. Don't give the people that are exploiting the name money. You know,
and one of the other things too is, and this is the interesting aspect of you know, the Latino experience in Miami, but especially with Cubans, you know, the Cuban exile experience passed from generation to generation. And I'm wondering how, you know, describe how you dive into that in this show.
Well, I think that because my family left Cuba with nothing, all they had were their memories and their practices and their attitudes, and that's what they gave us, you know. So I think that comes into play because whenever you're dealing with Cuba, it's always a problem, you know, especially if you have to deal with any kind of official Cuba. There's always a game to play. It's always a challenge. They look at us as we abandoned the country. And it's like, we did not abandon the country. We wanted freedom. Like, we wanted democracy. We wanted our vote to matter. This isn't abandoning. This is like, you kicked us out. So I've had to deal with a lot of that in Cuba as well. And it's... You know, it's disheartening because ultimately we all supposedly want the same thing, which is a free and happy Cuba, right? That's the line on both sides. And I believe some of the less cynical elements over in Cuba would like also, they just think that theirs is the right way. And then, of course, the more cynical elements know that they're just taking advantage of a population and decimating a country and stealing everything. And there's pretty cynical elements here, too, that make a lot of money and a lot of hay out of... making war instead of looking for ways of dialogue and growth and growing the economy and stuff like that. So it's always an interesting thing because even if you don't want to touch it, it touches you. When you're Cuban, you can't help it.
I'm talking with Cuban-American playwright Carmen Palay. She has written a new play called Fake, and it takes a deep dive into the intersections between art and Cuban politics. It's playing at the Colony Theater in Miami Beach now through February 17th. There's a line in the show that said at the beginning, it's something you hear throughout, that it's an important part of the play, I should say, throughout. Art is the only real history that we have.
Absolutely. I'm a big believer in that. If you want to know a people, look at the art that they create. You know, if you want to know America in the 90s, you have to listen to Britney Spears, which is horrible, but it's true, unfortunately. And I think, you know, that really is the best indication of who we are. You know, to me, it's interesting because when you go to Cuba, you see anything that was built post-revolution and you're like, why is that so brutish? Like, why is that so boring? Because it's very brutalist, you know, that's the regime. So I'm a big believer in that. And I think art touches all of us, whether we know it or not. You know, it goes into every design of everything that we use every day. And it profoundly moves me. I've sat in front of paintings and wept because I'm so touched by what I'm seeing. You know, and I just, the way it survives generation after generation through centuries, the way it manages to have people take care of it.
So what does your great aunt's art tell us about Cuba at that point in history?
It's interesting because a lot of people say Amelia was painting Cuba, but she was actually painting Paris. If you look at the iron grill in her work, it's not Cuban iron grill. I didn't understand it until I went to the Avenida Junot, where she lived in Paris, in Montmartre, that I was like, oh, that's what she's painting. She was longing for Paris, but she was doing it through Cuban color because she was back in Havana. And I think also Amelia speaks to the quieter side of the Cuban psyche, the the more sentimental side. I think she speaks to that longing that you feel when you're isolated. Island life, ultimately, even if Havana's a major city, you're still an island. And I think she was foreshadowing what was to come. I think all great artists do. All great artists pick into something and they're like, you know, whether they know it, I talk about it in the play, the German Expressionist. They knew what was coming. They were foreshadowing Hitler, you know? And I think that Amelia almost felt what was to come, and she faced it unafraid because she knew who she was. So for me, that's very important, because I think when you know your value in the world, you can step anywhere and be part of a community.
Your character goes through a long process to determine, again, the authenticity of this one painting. And she battles with this question: when do you stand up for what's right, and what will you sacrifice to make your case? Why is it so hard for your character to just give in and let the painting go up for sale?
Because too many people have sacrificed. My character, her, you know, which this is, again, based in the part of it that's based on my life, Amelia's sister, my great aunt Ninita, stayed in Cuba to protect the house. She stayed in Cuba to keep the work and the family's collection intact. So she stayed for 47 years, isolated, alone, with only being able to get help when we would send it, for the sake of art. So how could my character, Camilla, with that understanding, rubber stamp something that's not an Amelia and watch some schmuck make $1 million off of it, you know, when all the sacrifice has already been made? It's like you're putting the money in the bank and you're seeing somebody else take it out. I think if you're a collector and you purchased a piece and you make money off of it, great, you've got a good eye. I actually found a real Amelia on eBay one time. Very rare, very rare. I went out to Chicago to look at it. I called her and I said, if this is a real Amelia, I think A, it'll break the record, and B, I want you to get the money that you deserve for it. They bought it for $150 at an estate sale in New York. It was an Amelia that was purchased from the Pintores Cubanos exhibit at MoMA in 47. It had the markings on the back. Somebody wanted to come and look at it and bring their expert, and they were offering $50,000 for it. A friend of theirs, it was an older couple, called me and said, you know, you're her aunt, you're her niece, I think it's worth more. The Amelia set the record, $523,000 at auction. And I helped her, like, put her with the right broker to maneuver it through the system. Again, do not buy Amelias on eBay. It's very rare, and not, like, 99.9999% of them are fake. But, you know, this is the kind of stuff that they bought it for $150, and they made $500,000 off of it. And I was so happy for her, because they had the eye, they had the presence of mind to say, that's a great painting. And they saw it.
So, you know, the show, I mean, it dives into the art world, and you're giving us a taste, which is amazing. And by the way, as you said, just don't buy on eBay.
Yeah, do not.
Don't buy art on eBay.
No.
But you have to be very careful in the art world, because there are a lot of fakes. What else is this play trying to, what is it you want audience members to walk away with?
Well, I think that, look, we're living in really cynical times, and there is a right and wrong. There is a right and wrong, and we each have a moral compass, and I'm seeing way too many good people look the other way because of the way politicians are manipulating us, and I think that's unacceptable. I think people have to really dig into not fake news or whatever, but is this right? Is this morally the right thing to support? And that's my biggest concern. I mean, at the end of the day, we only have our actions, you know, and seeing... I mean, like PTSD from the stories of my grandparents and my parents told me growing up, that their experience with Cuba. And I just think there's a right and a wrong, and it's worth it to do the right thing. When you step right, you're stepping strong, you know. And I think that we have to stop playing little games and playing little, you know, political justifications because of party or whatever. And we have to really look at it and say, this is wrong, and I'm going to stand against it.
Do you ever think about if Amelia could see this show, what she would say?
Oh, God. You know, it's interesting. Amelia died in 68, and she was very quiet. But she loved my father very much, and I'm very much like my dad. Like, Ninita, her sister used to say, my sister's a lake, very calm. She walks in, and she's just this beautiful, calm, peaceful presence. And I come in, and I'm like, I'm just like that hurricane that comes in. And my father was the same way. And Amelia loved my father very much. So I think Amelia would love me. And I think Amelia would be kind of like, oh, my God, you know, she's doing this. Amelia never really thought of her. There's a great line in one of the books that say, Amelia never sought fame, and fame did its time. You know, fame took its time to find her, but when it did, you know, she never sought fame, but she knew what she had. And I hope that she would be happy that I'm defending what she did, because it means the world to me.
How many pieces do you have of hers?
I have one ceramic mug that I found on eBay. But again, do not buy on eBay. It had it had everything that was correct. It was from an estate sale. It had a stamp. It had a certificate that I recognized. So,
and let's be clear. Be careful when you're buying art.
Always. All art. eBay. All art on eBay is very problematic, according to the FBI, not even me.
Yeah.
And I have a paintbrush of hers that I talk about it in the play. My first trip to Cuba, I stayed in Amelia's room, and her studio was being redone, so it had all her jars of paintbrushes. And I asked Anita for a paintbrush, and she gave it to me. So I have that. I have a paintbrush of hers, which means the world to me, and a mug, and a ceramic, which I love her ceramics. And I was happy to get it. But I don't have the money to own one of her works. Not yet. Hopefully one day.
None was left to you then, I guess.
No, the Cuban government won't allow it. And that's something that, because it is all ours. Anita left it to us in her will, but the Cuban government won't acknowledge it. So even though all of that is the family's and all of that belongs to the family proper, they won't acknowledge it. They're like, oh, no, she didn't leave a will. And I'm like, that you know of.
Playwright Carmen Belay, she has written a new play. It's called Fake. And again, we learned a lot about art today, if you haven't. Takes a deep dive into those intersections between art and Cuban politics. It's playing now at the Colony Theater in Miami Beach now through February 17th. Check it out. Carmen, such a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I really appreciate
it. Thank you for having
me. All right, that's our program. This is Sundial for Monday, January 28th. I'm Luis Hernandez. Have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.